Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, I rewatched that movie about a year or two ago. You forget how really brilliant that movie is. And dark and weird and twisted.
I should probably watch it.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Well, I think you would like it.
It's incredible.
And we're not going to movie shame because we don't movie shame.
Thou shall not movie shame.
On the Dana Parks program.
I haven't seen it. So
it is a very good movie.
Maybe tonight.
Well, don't talk about it, but go watch it.
If you do watch it, you cannot talk about
it. Correct. Okay. First and second rule.
Speaking of Fight Club, by the way.
Ooh, Gorilla Fight Club.
An Arkansas school owner and director, along with three of her employees, were arrested after being accused of orchestrating a fight club among the students. One of the individuals charged, Mary Morrison, aged 50, founded a school called the Delta Institute for the Developing Brain, located in Jonesboro, about 143 miles northeast of Little Rock. Morrison also runs a program called the Engage Center for Enriched Learning, which claims to help students age 4 and up improve their executive functioning, academic social skills. She is now facing 11 felony counts of permitting child abuse, 18 misdemeanor counts of contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile, as well as failure to notify by a mandated reporter.
Now, we had mentioned this story last week when the arrests initially happened, but we had not gotten the charges yet.
Now you have them. She's been released on $250,000 bond. The others are released on $100,000 or $10,000 bonds.
One of the issues I have with this, wouldn't even know where to begin, honestly, is that the frequency with which this story winds up in our stack. This is not the first. It's not the last. It's not the first by far, Scott.
I believe it was the L.A. Juvenile Detention Center more recently.
Yes, where for sport, adults that are supposed to be helping these children.
Gladiator style.
Start putting money on who's going to beat up who.
Yep.
Some of the incidents at this youth fight club lasted 30 minutes.
Good God.
And by the way, this is a school specifically dedicated to assisting students with special needs.
Unbelievable.
Oh, is that a fact?
That is a fact. Yeah. And they are seen on video encouraging one student to punch another student in the circle. Oh, sorry, not punch. Pardon me. Much worse.
Choke.
To kick them directly in the jewels. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So they would get a student in the middle of a circle of other students.
It's awful, Scott.
And this student would become basically the victim.
Yeah.
And they were choked, allegedly, kicked in the family jewels, beaten, all the while Miss Morrison allegedly is verbally abusing the child in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
Is it weird that I'm surprised that three of the four who were arrested were women? Now, I would assume
men
would be
stupid enough
to do something like this.
I want to go one step further. I think in almost every case we have read in the last couple of years involving something like this, it has been a woman.
Really?
Yes. If you go back and look, I think this is a uniquely, bizarrely awful female crime.
By the way, only one man of the four is charged with these crimes. His name is Michael Bean. He is 39 years old.
Okay.
There's a 45-year-old woman and a 36-year-old woman who have also been charged. This is I mean, Yeah. I'm not one, like, forgive me, Dana, but you're usually like 20 years, 30 years. I'm not one to say that this woman should go to prison for a very long time, but she needs to go to prison for a very long time. This is disgusting behavior.
By the way, in the LA juvenile detention facility, 30 different officers were charged. They were all accused of partaking, betting, and whatnot.
Can you describe the whatnot, sir?
No. There's too many depressing things in the stack today. I can't even.
Oh, do you want to give it? Can you give us an update on your Itchy McItchy?
Yes. I got a spray McSpray because one of our listeners told me to go get it. I haven't itched all day. I know. It's getting better. It's getting better. I think Monday, I had to get through Monday, and Monday was really bad.
Did you find that spray in a very special aisle?
I did.
Are you experiencing itching, burning, a painful rash you can't explain? On the Dana and Parks program, we care about your health, and we're hoping you join us in spreading awareness, like the spread of Scott's angry rash, about the dangers of ignoring signs there's something wrong with you. If you've ever woken up with swollen, red, pimple-like bumps on your body and your face looks like a pirate, we're here to remind you, don't go to work, don't shake hands with strangers, don't hit up your favorite restaurant downtown, because that shit could be contagious. Nope, if this sounds like you, it's time to call your doctor and ask about a new revolutionary product called Boy It Itches Down There. Boy It Itches Down There was invented by real health people who know health things. People who know what it's like when what started above the neck starts to migrate down there. Let them ship you a sample of Boy It Itches Down There direct to your door. It's discreet, because who wants to walk into the pharmacy and shout out, "Boy, it itches down there"? Boy It Itches Down There is natural, organic, hasn't been tested or proven effective, but you'll feel better almost immediately that you're doing something. Unlike that one time when someone told you to go to the doctor at 2 o'clock and you told her to go blank herself. At the Dana and Parks program, we care about your health. If something is wrong, really wrong, run, do not walk, straight into the nearest actual healthcare provider.
Do not take Boy It Itches Down There if you're allergic to Boy It Itches Down There. Boy It Itches Down There can cause dry heaves, weight gain, weight loss, unstoppable diarrhea, scurvy, gout, temporary or permanent blindness, or the uncontrollable urge to speak endlessly about 80s hair metal. Rarely, with prolonged use, other side effects may occur, such as limited bladder control, loss of feeling at the extremities, festering boils, or the uncontrollable urge to remind people that you grew up in Germany and that you don't wear underwear. So ask your doctor today about Boy It Itches Down There.
So good. So good.
I forgot about your eye patch.
Well, my eye, it had swollen shut.
I remember now. You really had a case of Boy It Itches Down There.
It itched up there and down there.
So you still have poison ivy?
Sam. It is migrating.
Intolerable.
Oh, boy.
2 days ago. Are you done with yours?
I actually got over mine naturally, yeah. First time in my life I've gotten over poison ivy naturally.
I just bought everything in that aisle. The very specific, odd, itch
aisle.
Did you
take the oatmeal bath like I told you?
I did. We did that.
Did you get the Tech New?
We did that?
I did. Yep, I did the Tech New. We did. The spray has been the best, you guys. There's a spray. It looks like a spray deodorant can.
Yeah.
And you spray it. Well,
down
everywhere.
There.
Yeah, everywhere. And it does knock down the itch. It was our listeners that came to the rescue. I'm going to be honest. So thank you.
Wait a minute. You've had it. You've had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had poison ivy many, many, many times.
Hmm.
You've never had poison ivy?
Actually, no.
Oh, how? With all the time you spend outside?
I just know how to avoid it, I guess.
Well, as a true man of nature, he's always well prepared.
Yeah. Always keeping an eye out on the leaves of trouble.
Yukon Dan does not get tricked
the sumacs.
By the ivy of poison.
Leaves of three, let it be.
Not going to get that leaf dribble on me. Mm-mm, not up in here.
Oil be gone.
No, you're probably just not allergic.
It's possible.
I'm sure that I've come in contact with it. It just hasn't caused me any issues.
That leave dribble can't penetrate my skin. I'm right. Dan Weinbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Skin so tough, poison ivy doesn't bother.
When it sees my machete, it runs.
It is afraid of my machete. Do you carry like some sort of poison ivy in your EDC?
He's a natural repellent.
No,
Scott.
I just look at it and it shrivels.
We're talking about poison ivy, right? Are we still on poison ivy?
Yeah.
Okay, no. Just wanted to make sure.
Wow, it is almost time for a break.
It is time for a break. When we get back, we have another hoarding case in Kansas. In Kansas. Why are we the worst states, plural, when it comes to animal hoarding? Another story in the stack. We'll get to it when we get back. Okay. Don't look at it or it shrinks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Story here out of Michigan. This did not go as planned.
Easter just passed, and I think if you talk to anyone at any animal shelter, they will tell you one of the dumbest, worst things you can do is buy a bunny for your children for Easter.
An overwhelming rabbit population took over a home after a well-meaning mom bought a small number of pet bunnies for her kids, according to a Michigan shelter.
It never remains a small number.
Saginaw County Animal Care and Control received a call from the woman on April 16th asking for help dealing with what she estimated to be more than 50 rabbits now residing at her home, according to the shelter.
Started with four. I don't know what happened.
She purchased a few rabbits as pets for her kids, but soon found herself unable to control the rapid breeding. The woman had tried to keep the rabbits apart, separating them from each other in the basement so they wouldn't multiply.
Oh, they'll find a way.
But they found a way by chewing through the drywall, making it impossible to contain them. Once staff arrived at the address, they quickly realized there were many more rabbits than the caller estimated, and that number continues to rise as many of the female rabbits have been giving birth on a daily basis. Pregnancy in a rabbit lasts only 1 month, and a mother rabbit can give birth to as many as 12 babies or four on the lower end and can become pregnant again the following day after giving birth. The shelter did not provide an exact figure on the number of rabbits taken from the home, but went on to say it was more than 50.
They're still counting. It's going to be somewhere in the north of 65 rabbits.
Well, every day they go back, there's 12 more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mom, what are the rabbits doing from the text line? Well, they're making friends.
Why?
Literally making friends.
Yeah, I know. I never had a rabbit. I don't want a rabbit. There's a reason that rabbits have so many babies. It's because hawks need something to eat. Mm-hmm. In fact, let me see if I can find that old YouTube clip that we like so much.
Let me ask you this. Is she going to be financially responsible, when I say charged, not criminally, financially responsible for the thousands of dollars in care? Four of the rabbits had to be euthanized. Some of the mothers ate the young.
Gross.
She needed to call for help like day three, not week 12.
I think it's easy to blame her. I think she was probably just overwhelmed.
They're popping out every day. At the point you go from four to like six or eight, you're overwhelmed.
Well, if you think about it, if she had 60. One male and three females, she comes home from work a month later, and there are up to 36 new rabbits.
There could be,
because
they can have 12 at a time. That's right.
Oh, my God.
12 at a time.
Okay.
Don't walk in the bibbles.
Yeah.
We gotta let Kermit go so we can find his mommy.
You gonna put him out in the grass, or?
This is the little baby we've been feeding for a week. I don't want to let him go, but everybody else does, so.
They've got their daughter out there. They're going to put the bunny into the yard and let him go.
It's there? Where's my mommy? Where's mommy?
Go find mommy.
Where's your mommy?
That was a hawk. That wasn't mommy. That was the circle of life.
Yes, it was. That poor little girl.
Well, I
go
think
find mommy.
You would just tell the child
that the hawk was
taking the bunny to mom.
That's right.
That mom is several miles away.
Yep.
And it's much faster to have the bird take the bunny.
And the hawk has communicated with mommy bunny.
And we've all been having to think on your feet in a second. Squeaking because it was so excited,
right. So happy
to go see mom.
The expedited ride.
Yeah. What the rabbit, when it was squeaking, was saying, "Going home, going home, can't wait."
Oh, I do not need to hear it again.
Where's your mommy?
Okay, Scott, I do not need to hear that again. Be free.
Yay, we're going.
Be
Yay.
Free.
Take me to my mommy.
Terrible.
Expedited trip home.
Okay, we have a hoarding case out of Jewell County, Kansas.
And you're mad at me for playing that video and you're about to tell me about hoarded animals?
And the Humane Society of Greater Kansas City has stepped in to take in 40 of the dogs that were found. That is on the low end of what needs to happen here, Scott. Law enforcement and animal rescue agencies assisted the Jewell County Sheriff's Department as they seized dozens and dozens and dozens of dogs at a residence in the rural community of Esbon. Look up Esbon, E-S-B-O-N, April 25th. I have never heard of Esbon.
Is it in Kansas?
Yep. Authorities found the dogs in, quote, unimaginable conditions. They are calling this an extreme case of hoarding.
Far north central Kansas.
Okay, Hutchinson Animal Shelter took some of them.
That would be a haul.
We are waiting to see if charges are going to be filed.
Esbon has a population of 69 people.
If you drew a north-south line halfway between Hayes and Salina and went almost all the way to the Nebraska border, you would hit Esbon.
Okay. If how many people live there?
69.
Okay. That's the number of dogs they've rescued from this house. It's on the low end. I think I saw somewhere it was 100 dogs.
In a county that has less than 3,000 people total.
Okay.
The entire county.
In Esbon, follow me here, there are 69 people. How did no one know there were 100 dogs on this property?
Well, they probably did. My guess would be in a town that small, in a county that tiny, and by tiny, I mean population, it's just as big as Johnson County, if not bigger, as far as landmass. My guess would be either everybody is on their own 20, 30, 40 acres, and nobody really knows what's going on each other's property, or they knew what was going on the property, and quite frankly, we just don't care.
Man, ooh. Why is this a uniquely Midwestern problem? Not that there aren't.
Because you can't pull it off in the Northeast.
This is not a breeding
United States
situation. This is a hoarding situation.
By the way, I would point out Jewell County, Kansas, which is where Esben is, in 1900 had a population of 20,000 people. It now has a population of less than 3,000. This is a county that is dying.
I mean, it's only like 8 square blocks. It is tiny. They do have a community center.
Esben is unincorporated. Yes, you're right. Which is to say it doesn't really have any businesses.
Ah. All right.
Where are all the homes? I mean, in 1900, there were 20,000 people that lived in Jewell County, Kansas. There
in
are
what
now
year?
1900. 125 years later, there are less than 3,000.
Because the people are moving more and more toward the population centers. And that is bad because you don't have access to health care. You don't have access, to just neighborhood programs where someone might say, hey, we're sort of starting to think you're overwhelmed here with the number of animals you have.
Right. They have not had a population increase on the census in any year since 1910. Every census, which is done every 10 years, every census has seen a sizable decline in the population of Jewell County, including in 1960, when the population decreased by 25%.
In going into the House, quoting here from the Kansas City Humane Society CEO, quote, we had to walk through 2 to 3 feet of debris.
Read that poop.
Inside the house, 2 to 3 feet of debris, quote, debris of all kinds. The house was so filthy and so dilapidated that it will have to be condemned. There was no fresh water anywhere on the property.
And I know we got to get to break. Sam, bear with me for just a second. I have always found the topic of hoarding to be fascinating. We discuss it usually like once every 2 or 3 years. And it's been a couple of years since we've talked about it. I do not understand. And maybe it's because I'm a clean freak. I mean, I dusted my house this morning. I just don't get it. How can you live in those kind of conditions? Do you just not care? Are you mentally ill? Do you not see it? Is there a hole in your life that you can't fill? And so you just live in these dilapidated, feces-covered homes?
I don't know, Scott. I don't know.
It boggles my mind. Do you not have a trash bag? Do you not have eyes to see that you live in a dump?
She said some of these dogs are going to have a little bit of a journey to learn what it's like just to be a dog, to learn what it's like to be loved, to learn what it's like to be cared for. They're asking people to foster. They're asking for financial support. I mean, they're asking for, they need a lot of help. They need a lot of help.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So it's rather ironic, maybe that's the right word, that these two stories come out on the exact same day, and it involves two of the what are they called? GLP-1?
Yeah.
Is it GLP-1? Yeah.
Semaglutide.
Yeah. Ozempic and Wegovy. Stories out today, both from the New England Journal of Medicine. Here's one from CBS News.
Okay.
The other one's going to be from NBC. A new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine reveals that medications widely used for diabetes and obesity may offer significant benefits for patients with liver disease, adding to the growing list of potential applications for these popular drugs. The research focused on semaglutide, known by brand names such as Wegovy and Ozempic, showing that it can effectively treat metabolic dysfunction-associated steatohepatitis, known as MASH,
wow,
which is a fatty liver condition related to obesity or diabetes. The study followed approximately 800 patients for 72 weeks, documenting significant improvements in liver health among those receiving semaglutide treatment. Almost two-thirds, quoting here from the researchers, almost two-thirds of people had a reduction in liver inflammation related to fatty liver condition, and more than a third had a reduction in liver scarring. And then this story here from NBC focuses primarily on Wegovy and said this, basically the same thing, that these might be miracle drugs. Not only do they, you know, originally developed to treat diabetes, it was later learned as people were taking them for diabetes that they were also losing weight. I always find it very bizarre.
How many off-label things end up happening?
No, but with, yes, I'll get to that in just a second. But if you ever watch one of the Wegovy commercials, the guy will say, and it's such a bizarre number that they choose. He says, I've lost 35 pounds, and some people have lost up to 46. Why 46?
Why not 47?
Why not 48 and a half?
I mean, they literally say that in the commercial. Yeah. I've lost up to 35 pounds, and some people have lost 46.
And a lot of these miracle side effects, while they are, it is miraculous that these things are improving, are the direct response to having lower weight.
Your liver will naturally
heal when you have less to process and you are a healthier person.
One of the few organs in the body that can heal itself.
Yeah.
Skin being another one, of course. But, you know, originally these two drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy, were originally developed to treat diabetes. Then they realized, hey, people are losing weight when they take these drugs. So it then became a weight loss drug. Then, if you'll recall, a couple of months ago, it was reported that semaglutide also helps people curb their cravings for alcohol if they have an alcohol addiction. Now we're learning, and we should point out, alcohol does horrible things to your liver. Now we're learning that these drugs, which may not only be good for diabetes, weight loss, and addiction, can also potentially heal your liver.
Incredible. All right, listen to this. If you told me this story and I was not reading it on a verified website, I don't know that I would have believed you. The title of the article reads, "She cannot see home plate."
Oh, I got that right here.
"But this softball pitcher just landed a D1 scholarship." This is out of Cheshire, Connecticut. "As a Cheshire High School sophomore, Jenica Matos threw three no-hitters last season before the Rams squared off against their arch rival in a Connecticut Class State Championship semifinal game last June. One of those no-hitters came at the expense of the Blue Knights, so they were focused heading into that game. But Matos nearly repeated her performance and yielded just one hit while striking out 13 batters to help Cheshire win 4-0. A few days later, they lost state, and it says, not bad for a young woman who is legally blind and started to go, by the way, at age 10. She is legally blind and just got offered a D1 scholarship to play softball.
Good for her.
And Sam, you were like helping explain, and I played softball. I played fast pitch for 6 or 7 years. So
I've got your card.
This is such an incredible accomplishment, but you said of all of the positions one could play and excel,
being legally blind.
Being like legally blind, you think the pitcher is the sole position.
It would absolutely be the pitcher. I don't want to poke fun at blindness.
No, God, no.
She wouldn't be a very good outfielder, and I certainly would not want her on first base for her own safety. Yes, my favorite student in the front row.
I have a question, Professor. I played beer softball leagues when I was in my 20s and 30s. Does the pitcher have to bat?
That's a great question. I think they do.
So she's an automatic strikeout.
I wouldn't say that.
No, I don't think so.
But in terms of pitching, specifically with softball, not so much with baseball. There's more variation in the throw style, trying to get the different throws. But with softball, there's really there's a lot of hand movement. But in terms of the arm movement, it is very repetitive. If you watch the College World Series, I think it's called, with softball, and you watch the pitchers, all of the top-tier D1 pitchers, they don't do the same thing. They all have their own little quirks where, like, maybe one will wipe their hand on their pants, maybe one will rub their eyebrow. But they all do the same exact thing over and over and over again. It is a sport of repetition, and even though she may or may not be able to see perfectly where that ball is going, she knows that when she releases the ball in that direction, it's going to do what she wants it to do.
By the way, in most softball leagues, according to this site I'm on the internet, the pitcher does not bat.
Well, there you go.
So she turns 17 on April 17th, but her vision will prevent her from ever having a driver's license. She cannot read a whiteboard at the front of the classroom. Her teacher often provides her notes that she can copy and study. While she cannot see home plate when she is standing in the pitcher's circle, she can certainly find that strike zone with her fastball, which reaches speeds up to 64 miles an hour. For context, that translates to a baseball pitcher in the low 90s. In addition, playing for Cheshire, she plays for a travel team. And let me see where. She is powerful and intense on the mound. With her sunglasses, she wears rain or shine, giving her an imposing presence. She is a competitor, and she is a thinking competitor. Quoting here from her coach, she truly does seek out the game within the game to beat her opponents. She is a gritty, gritty competitor.
I mean, it would be impossible for us to know exactly what her vision is, but, you know, she can obviously make out what she is throwing at.
She says we have never, ever found any holes in how she fields her position from the mound. She only needs two accommodations in order to pitch. First, her catcher needs to have a chest protector and a glove in contrasting colors.
There you go.
To make sure that happens, the family bought a white chest protector and brings it down to games because most catcher's gloves are black or dark brown. And the second thing she needs is a way to get pitching signals from her coaches. Ordinarily, catchers relay signals and information on what pitch to throw. She can't tell how many fingers her catcher may be flashing, so once again, they have used creativity. The coach wears a black coat or black clothes and a neon winter glove. That's how she signals the signs to the catcher and pitcher.
Okay, I'm going to ask the dumbest question I've ever asked on this show in 19 years. I thought that there was only one pitch in fast pitch softball,
It
was the fast pitch.
Oh, no.
They have curves and
sliders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It looks the same. Like I said, and how I mentioned with the repetition of the arm movement, when you're pitching in baseball with the overhand arm movement, it takes a whole lot more of the elbow and the shoulder movement to get the type of throw that you want. In softball, it's all about the wrist flick.
So you can throw a curveball in softball.
Yes.
Her college coach is now saying, her college coach is now saying she is the player that every single coach dreams of. And she said when she was like being scouted and stuff, she didn't want them to know about it. She just wanted.
Kind of important.
No. Well, is it?
Yeah, because you're going to need a designated hitter.
No. You're going to need contrasting colors. That is such a simple accommodation for the catcher's chest protector and the glove.
Now, I'm assuming, and again, I think that she's amazing. I'm not making fun of her at all. I'm assuming she's not very good at fielding a bunt.
This says that she has had no issues.
Huh.
She got looks from Seton Hall, University of Massachusetts.
Where's she going?
St. John's.
She's going to St. John's in New York?
Yep.
Huh. Does it mention her ability to cover first? I'm asking genuinely.
It does.
Are you trying to be a smart aleck?
No, it does not. The coach says there's nothing on her defense work on the mound where she cannot get things done.
Okay. Then all the power to her.
She's awesome.
It is an incredible story.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. When you're ready to feel old, this song is 38 years old.
Okay, that's enough of that.
38 years old.
They said it was.
Sam, what do you got for us?
So we've all heard the story of the message in the bottle. The castaway lost at sea.
Yeah.
Trying to get a message back to the land that they are lost at sea.
Marooned.
Or there's this story about a guy up in Sheboygan, Michigan, who back in 1926, November to be specific, grabbed what looks like an old medicine bottle. It's one of those green square-shaped bottles.
Yeah.
And he put a note, a message, in the bottle and set it afloat. Again, this was in Sheboygan, Michigan, right on Lake Huron. The note reads, "Will the person who finds this bottle return the paper to George Morrow of Sheboygan, Michigan?" And feel free to let me know where you found it.
Okay.
Fast forward to 2025.
Not come save me. Right. I'm dying.
Nope. Here are the winning Powerball numbers.
Fast forward to 2025. So the Sheboygan River runs through Sheboygan, obviously, and goes out into Lake Huron. This guy went to the banks of the Sheboygan to drop the bottle. 99 years later, the bottle is found by a tour boat owner. It's one of those glass bottom tour boats.
No way.
She was out. She was cleaning her tour boat. She went and saw what looked like a bottle down there that was capped, and she could tell for whatever reason that there was something in the bottle. She dives down. She grabs it. She reads the note. She posts it on Facebook. It goes viral. She finds the family. They can't believe that they found the letter. The family confirms that is their grandfather's handwriting. How far do you think that bottle traveled?
20 feet.
Oh, no. This is going to be thousands of miles.
It was found on the banks of the Sheboygan River. It sank straight to the bottom and sat there for 99 years before this tour boat owner
bless his heart. Found it. Did he weigh it down with concrete?
It just went straight to the bottom. I don't think there was enough air in there to keep that bottle afloat. But yeah, 99 years, the message in the bottle was found.
How could you not get enough air in there to keep it floating?
Right where it was dropped.
Listen to this story, you guys.
Nerd.
At just 7 weeks old, two bald eagle chicklets could not fly to safety when their nest tree toppled and they landed in the Missouri River. The water posed a threat to their nest. Sticks, grass, and dirt that safely secured them was slowly disintegrating. That's when the owner of the adjacent Bonterre property found the duo and called the Wild Bird Sanctuary, hoping for a rescue. At their current stage of muscle development, it is uncertain whether they would have had the strength to swim or just ended up drowning.
Hmm.
Due to the eagle's location in the water, rescuers decided to try a canoe to help make the rescue. Settle had a canoe, lent it to the crew. They closely and safely came up to the eaglets. One of them frantically tried to swim away.
Aww.
They went in and grabbed them. Look, they were able to get both chicks. And then I'm going to scroll up and look at the look on their faces.
Those are eaglets?
Yes, look how big they are.
What are they eating?
You guys, they saved both babies. The looks on their face, Sam, it's like...
They're not happy.
They're not happy. They're wet. They're angry, but they are alive. They're going to be placed with a surrogate bald eagle at the World Bird Sanctuary to grow up until they can safely live on their own.
Is that how that works? What?
Yeah, they can surrogate.
Bald eagle surrogacy?
Mom them, yes.
And the fake mom's just going to take them?
The two will be housed in one of the sanctuary's largest flights with very limited human contact. So they will build muscle, become more stable and mobile, then they will be released back to the wild.
I think those things are big enough to take care of themselves.
No,
I mean,
not yet. Not yet. And then they've got blindfolds on them. How did they get blindfolds on them? Look at them. They've got little bird blindfolds on them. Bless their hearts. They were probably like, what in the Sam Hill happened? 1 minute I was warm in my nest. The next minute I'm sopping wet. Now I'm in a canoe and I look like an idiot.
Why do the blindfolds look like earmuffs?
They do. They look like little orange earmuffs. Little tiny ears.
You know, I was minding my own business the other day.
Now I'm in a canoe.
People were bringing me food. I didn't even ask for it.
They rescued them. I love that story.
Now I can't see a damn thing.
I love that story.
I'm wet. And where is my mom? Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.